Welcome to Florida Matters More, the podcast for Florida Matters, WUSF Public Media's show about the issues and events that Floridians care about. I'm Robin Sussingham, and I host Florida Matters along with Carson Cooper. I'm here in the studio with Florida Matters producer Stephanie Colombini. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
And also joining us today is Daylena Miller, a reporter for WUSF News.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Daylena. You can hear Florida Matters Tuesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 7:30 on WUSF 89.7. You can always stream it on WUSF.org. Well, this week's show took a look at live music in the Tampa Bay area, which turns out to be pretty vibrant and diverse. And Stephanie, you came to us from WFUV in New York, which is a music station. So you've really got a pretty good background in music. Plus, it's like sort of a personal passion of
yours.
That's
my life. That's all I eat, sleep, and breathe music. So WFUV is an NPR member station, but it's primarily music, rock and roll. So that's where I got my start in journalism as a student journalist. And so I just came up the ranks surrounded by great music in a city where you could always, you know, find a show going on any day of the week. So when I moved here to Florida, I was looking for that. Immediately when I got to Tampa, it was like, where are the concert venues? What's going on? How can I see music? And it's been great. I've really been surprised.
Really?
Yeah. Like at least once a week, I feel like I'm going to see a great show.
What do you like to see? What's big around here?
I'm a fan of rock and roll. So I am usually going to places like Janis Live, which was mentioned on our Florida Matters Art Populi show, or in Tampa, there's the Ritz, Ebor, there's the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater for kind of the bigger acts go there during the, when you want to go see an outdoor show. So I'm always kind of looking for
those. You don't
have
to go too far.
No, you really don't. And if you're not a fan of rock and roll, I mean, I've gone to amazing performances at the Straz for more of an orchestra type of performance.
So you go a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, is it expensive?
Or,
really?
Yeah. I mean, it depends what you're trying to see. You could see a show for $15, or you could see, you know, 100 plus. If you want to see Lady Gaga at the Amalie Arena, you're going to spend big money.
So you went to the Hangar for your story. You went to the Hangar, which is at an airport restaurant,
yeah,
to listen to jazz. So I'm curious what the ambiance was like there.
You know, I didn't know what to expect. I had a stage in mind, and I was kind of surprised, but happily surprised. I mean, it's really like just a restaurant, you know, you're sitting in a dining room.
There was no stage.
It's more of like people playing in the corner. Mm-hmm. So all the tables, you know, people are kind of turned in their seats to see the musicians in the corner, but it's really laid back, low frills. But that kind of made it more special because everyone, you know, the diners kind of got involved. People are chatting with the band members up on stage.
What you did a story on was this kind of a jazz open mic night.
Right.
Where anybody
the Monday
play,
night jazz jam.
Put their name on a list.
Exactly. They got a list up. So, I mean, obviously you'd want to have some musical experience, but people that are, you know, 19 years old where they are playing with guys that are 80 years old who have been doing it for decades. So
you met John Lamb.
I met John Lamb.
He is this sort of legend in jazz circles.
Right. He played with Duke Ellington's band in the 60s. He's this great bassist. And yeah, I even kind of felt like that starstruck, like, do I go up and ask him for an interview? But I'm a reporter, so I had to get him. And he was so nice. And, you know, he was like family with half the people in the room. They all just, you know, it was John Lamb, their friend, not this, you know, out there musician.
And there were some like teenagers playing, right? Like
yeah.
Young guys.
Yeah. And that's when I spoke with kind of the organizers of the jam, they say one of the best things about it is that it's a teaching experience where a 19-year-old can show up and he might bomb, but there's going to be older musicians there to give him some pointers and help kind of keep jazz going with the younger generation. And I definitely saw that there. And when I talked to the young guy, he, you know, told me his nightmare story of when he first got up there and, you know, played every wrong note because it's all improvisation.
Somebody said to him, well, that didn't
go so well. You know, you're trying to work with three other musicians and keep up with their solos. So I guess he didn't the first time, but that night after he got his tips and, you know, kept coming back, he was great.
Was it really crowded or?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find a
hard
seat.
Hard to find a seat. I was, yeah, we had like the one free table left is where I ended up sitting to kind of.
Is there a cover charge?
No. No cover charge. I mean, I think they expect you to buy a glass of wine or something, but that's like $6. So you can definitely get some great music for not a lot of money.
I'm so gratified to hear you, that you moved down here from New York and felt like you kind of didn't miss a beat as far as the music goes.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say is, and people talk about it, that the Tampa area has like, it's like the weekday curse or, so, you know, like band, big name artists and stuff typically were like the Tuesday stop. Like maybe they're in Miami on a Friday or a Saturday or Atlanta. So we're like the halfway, which can be tough if you've got a job or school the next morning, but I make it work.
That's, you know, in Lakeland, we would sometimes get classical, big classical music names to come to Florida Southern College or different places. But yes, it's the we kind of try to grab them in between venues on an off night or something, a little extra money for them. So Daylena Miller, you tell me about you went to a death metal concert. Like, so is this a long time? You've been following death metal for a while. Is this like something that you follow and you like?
Yeah, I've been a heavy metal fan for a long time, and death metal is just one of the many subgenres of heavy metal. When I went to school here at the University of South Florida, I was in the Heavy Metal Enthusiast Club.
Really?
I was, which I believe is still going on. And, you know, and I swapped CDs, you know, with friends in high school. I didn't get to go to a lot of live performances and things in high school. One, money was a factor. I grew up with a lot of siblings in a low-income family.
Right.
But the places where you can go for $10, $15 are sort of these gritty little hole-in-the-wall dive bars in Ybor City, which are fantastic for the environment factor and, you know, and really this, seeing people in this tight-knit community. But a lot of these places don't allow people that are under 18 or under 21 on certain nights. So if you're like a middle school or a high school student into heavy metal, it's a little bit tougher to get access to the live music. But
what's the safety factor like at those dive bars in Ybor City?
I've never felt uncomfortable. I've been in mosh pits where I've gotten pulled in and just about to get trampled, and then some big burly dude comes up behind me, grabs me by the back of the shirt, yanks me up before I hit the floor, and then apologizes for touching me without my permission.
Aww.
So these guys are really friendly, really cool. I mean, they're covered in black leather and studs and piercings, and they have long sweaty hair. And, you know, there's sort of a lot of these stereotypes about heavy metal fans and death metal fans. And I would say probably a lot of people sort of play into that with the way that they dress. But they're some of the nicest people I've ever met.
That's amazing. So you've been at it since high school, obviously.
Since high school.
Do you play an instrument?
I used to play violin, but it's been a long time. I'd like to get back into it. I was never musically talented in sort of a natural way like some of my siblings, and so it was always a struggle for me. And I found that when I had to work that hard at playing an instrument, it wasn't as much fun to listen for me because I was sort of venting my frustration. So I sort of backed off the playing and just stuck with the listening.
So what is the attraction to death metal? Because I got to say, you know, not everything is everybody's cup of tea, you know, and I listen to death metal and I can't really get it, but I haven't listened to enough probably.
There's a lot of different factors. It sort of subverts societal expectations. You know, it's not this pretty music with this beautiful flowing rhythm. It's, you know, it's really hostile sounding. It's really frantic. It gets your blood pressure up. A lot of the lyrics sort of evoke, you know, death and religious blasphemy and anarchy and, you know, sort of this anti-authoritarianism. And, you know, and it's sort of a reflection of how people are feeling, you know, about the world that they're living in. Mm-hmm. And while death metal got its start in the 1980s, and things have changed quite a bit between then and now, there are always frustrations with our political leaders, with what's going on in local government, with what we're seeing on TV. You know, the media broadcast 24/7. You know, we have smartphones in our pockets that, you know, do push notifications. Like, it's really hard to get away from all of that.
And just what's going on in people's personal lives.
And in personal
you always
lives.
Have things, right?
Absolutely. And this is sort of a safe space for you to go and scream and rant and, you know, mosh with people and throw up the
horns. It's cathartic?
It is. It's very cathartic for people. And, you know, you come out of it feeling like tired and sweaty and like you just went through like a really intense yoga session.
Happy.
You do.
Well, you do. So this, the one that you covered for Florida Matters, it wasn't your first show.
No.
I mean, you've been
definitely
going a long
not
time,
my
so
first.
You know what you know to go to. And I was surprised when you said that that Tampa was the death metal capital of the world. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, who knew? I mean, probably some of the death metal concerts and festivals in European countries are a lot bigger mm-hmm. because you can get people from multiple countries that drive a lot less distance to go to another country than, say, someone coming to Tampa from, like, California. It's a much larger distance to traverse. You know, and the Europeans are really into their metal right now. But death metal got its start here in Tampa. It sort of fell out of popularity just a little bit in the late 90s and the early 2000s. You know, there's sort of a cycle to all types of music.
Right.
Some of it's just sort of natural interest. Other things come out of the woodworks. People get interested in people really into grunge and those sorts of things.
It's getting more popular.
It is. That's what they're telling me. You see more and more of these concerts popping up in Eborgen in the same venues where they were originally. I talked to Don Tardy of Obituary, and these guys are like the Beatles of death metal. Like, they were one of the ones that helped get death metal started. They still tour. They had sort of a space in between recording their first few albums and now where they took a break. I mean, but these guys, you know, were growing up. They were coming into their own, getting married, having kids, you know, building their own families and sort of, you know, these more 9-to-5 jobs. And then some of them have sort of come back into their music and their passion again as they've gotten older, and they sort of want to reminisce about, you know, their glory days. But it's not just them regurgitating old music on stage. Like, they're coming out with new albums. You know, these albums are accessible to a lot more people, because then it was like, you know, they were popular because they sold 100,000 albums, you know, in their heyday. You know, it was a new niche music, but there wasn't as much access for people. You had to hear it on the radio. Death metal wasn't playing on the radio. You know, you had to get vinyl from somebody. Well, now you can go into the iTunes store and download every album Obituary's put out.
Yeah.
So, you know, kids like me, like, you know, that, you know, maybe I was having to wait for my parents to be interested in something, you know, or I was having to wait for a friend to sneak me an album at school or, you know, a CD when I was in high school. Now you can just go on iTunes and you can sort of explore. It's a lot more accessible.
Yeah. I mean, when I think some of my favorite bands are from the 80s or this, and it's like, why would I know that when I grew up in the 90s? Like, without technology, I think people who grew up in earlier generations, like she said, had to wait for their parents or had to have that special record. But we have access to like a century's worth of music. Mm-hmm. So your favorite band could be, you know, completely broken up by the time you were born, but you're able to discover them. And I see metal all over the place. When I'm looking for something to do around here, I look for concerts at Crowbar in Ybor City or Orpheum. Half of the lineup is like metal bands. So it's all over the place.
And even if you don't know the band name, like, you see people you lining up down the street and you look at them, oh, there's a heavy metal concert going on.
There's a certain look, huh?
There's a certain look.
Well, what do you think? Is the Tampa Bay area known for any particular kind of music? I know you said there's, you know, metal is definitely one, but what about kind of a country rock? I used to think of Florida, you know, as sort of the birth of like the Lynyrd Skynyrd type of bands, the country rock, sort of folksy rock kind of band. But I don't know if that's completely gone or...
I mean, I still see some country concerts when I'm looking at, you know, upcoming lineups around Tampa and St. Pete, but not as much as I expected. I had some Florida stereotypes in my mind when I moved mm-hmm. down here and was really surprised at how little of that there is. I mean, you know, Brad Paisley, you know, country, he was playing a few months ago. Like, you'll see names like that, but it's not. I mean, I really do think the metal and hard rock and emo, which was kind of like the early 2000s groups, those concerts, when bands like that who were doing kind of 10th anniversary tours this year coming through the area, they sold out. Like, I was interested in going because I listened to them in high school, bands like Taking Back Sunday or Dashboard Confessional. And I was like, I can just show up at the door and get a ticket. Yeah, sold out.
That's it for today. Thanks for joining us. Listen to Florida Matters Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7:30 on WUSF 89.7. You can always find it online at WUSF.org. And come back next week for another episode of Florida Matters More. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.